Live from St. Peter's Fish Market in Capernaum, Israel, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling, and occasionally other topics of general interest. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, inventor, philosopher, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the longtime legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a wily and cunning opponent, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Marksman, sculptor, and daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who never has to ask for directions, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen. Yay. Woo!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like Spinal Tap when they're backstage and you can hear the crowd chanting.
But they can't find their way to the stage.
I always thought that was
okay, that song right there?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's Taylor Swift's. It's a Taylor Swift number.
It is?
It is, because you made a point of griping about that I never had any newer music. So anyone that's listening on one of the formats where they yank the music off of it, it was a Taylor Swift.
Okay. Fair enough, Rick. Fair enough.
And, unlike your ordinary marriage, I actually listened to what you said and did something about it.
Wow. That was harsh to your wife. You're a bad man.
Was that a Jerry Seinfeld episode, wasn't it? You're a very bad man.
Oh, that wasn't what I was referencing, but that's fine. That's fine. Been doing some traveling.
To the Holy Land?
No, I haven't been to the Holy Land.
Okay, before you go into your travel story, let me ask you that.
Isn't all land holy to someone in some way?
Yeah, but, you know, I have been wanting to go to the Holy Land, Jerusalem.
Okay.
Capernaum. Kick around, look around. See if there's any residual holiness there.
Go through the cave, see and find those scrolls.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to do that.
I don't know. I guess I probably would. I mean, basically, my wife books vacations and says, we're going to such and such.
We're going to the Holy Land.
But she hadn't said that yet.
Jackie and Kristen went to the Holy Land.
Yeah.
On one of the times when it wasn't being bombed.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So there is that. That occasionally happens. You just got to time your trip between
bombs?
Between the intermittent wars of the Middle East.
All right. So, like, when you're trip planning, you're looking at which countries are in turmoil. Well, Mexico, they got drug cartels attacking people there. Yeah. Don't want to go to Venezuela right now, probably. America and Venezuela wouldn't be very popular. Cuba doesn't have anything to eat. Not going there.
what do you base that on?
Israel's,
they got great food in Cuba.
Israel's being, yeah, but they're running out of the rationing food. They've got nothing. Got no oil, no for your salad. you don't want to go to the Holy Land right now because
it's a motor oil shortage, not salad dressing oil.
Because they're being bombed by Iran. Probably don't want to go to Greenland because they're not. America's not popular there. Can't go to Canada. Because we're not popular there.
Oh, I've been to Canada. Let me tell you what.
Recently?
Yes. Not too long ago.
How long is it not too long ago?
3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Same thing with all these countries. You pop out the U.S. dollar.
Shut up.
That's your passport.
Yeah, whatever.
Sally, so where'd you go?
And Rick, it's not going to keep them spitting in your food.
Well, that's true here, though, just because they know you. I'm surprised you eat at any local restaurant.
I went to Joshua Tree.
California.
Yep.
Is it just like, when I think of Joshua Tree, I've seen, you know, I go to a lot of national parks, but I've never been to Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
I assume it's like a giant desert with one big cactus in it.
The Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
It's the world's largest cactus.
Okay.
There is a whole lot of desert in Joshua Tree, but there are really, really cool rock formations.
Just climb them.
I did some climbing, yeah, quite a bit, actually. But we got into this one place, you know, and all the different formations all have different names. But we went to this one, so I think they call it Hidden Valley or whatever, and we hiking through this maze of giant boulders and giant outcroppings and stuff.
What you mean we, Kemosabe?
The wife.
Okay.
And we come around this bend. And up ahead, there's like these two pinnacles, you know, not mountains, just rocks. And they've got a slack line between them. And people are walking, one person is actually out balancing on this slack line between these two pinnacles.
You should do that.
And, well, I stop, you know, and I'm like, Sarah, look at that. Isn't that cool? And there's a woman in front of us, and she stops, turns around, kind of gives this little sneer, said, they're using a net.
You know, if there's no chance of them being killed, right. I don't want to watch it.
I'm not going to stick around for this. I mean, you know, they're not going to die. So what's the joy in watching something like that?
Okay, here's a question I got for you before you go on for the rest of your trip. You know, every so often you read about these people that go hiking in the mountains, right? And they're not going off the trail. And one of them, like, break their ankle or leg or something. You know, and you can't get cell service because it's the middle of nowhere.
Right, right.
My question... You and Sarah out hiking.
Yeah.
And she busts her leg in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Are you going to carry her out or are you going to mark where she's at and go get help?
I would GPS mark it on my phone and leave her there.
And come back for her.
Ah, now you're asking a whole different set of questions, Rick.
Okay. There's some trial that went on about some guy that was mountain climbing with his girlfriend and left her and she died.
Oh.
And he got charged with like manslaughter or murder.
No kidding. So this is a real thing, and you're just trying to embarrass me? Is I would carry her out.
Could you? See, I'd have a hard time. You know, I'm 67? I'd have a hard time carrying Suzanne out of the mountains.
You have a hard time carrying your own weight.
No, less of it. I'm working on that. Yeah. It's lint. But, and I don't think she could carry me out. She'd have to leave me and go get help.
Sarah would definitely leave me. The issue of whether or not she would get help is the big question.
I think I told you once upon a time, but I'll tell it again. Hiking in the Rocky Mountains, this years ago, before cell phones, right? Back in the days of wired phones.
Yeah.
And we're hiking up in the Rocky Mountains on a trail, Sue and I, and we come around a bend, and here's an old guy laying on the ground that he's had like some heart issue, and his wife's like... sitting there with him, you know, and he's older, so she can't, and she couldn't have carried him out anyway.
Help us.
Through some grace of God, someone who's hiking on the trail in front of us is like a nurse or a doctor or something, and they're there with him, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like servicing him, and their partner had gone ahead to try to get a ranger.
Get help.
Help. So, I mean, there's really nothing Sue and I could have done.
Nothing we can do here, really.
Yeah.
Is that what she did? Walked
yeah,
on.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Well, we have to save ourselves. It'll be dark soon, and the wild animals come out.
This situation's under control. No, nothing we're going to do other than just add to your turmoil.
So you were able to avoid helping your fellow man.
And pretty soon here comes two rangers hiking uphill, I mean, like jogging uphill.
Yeah.
And they're pushing a stretcher that looks like it's designed by Dr. Seuss. It's got like... one peg with a pivot, like a pivot wheel that it balances on.
Okay.
That one of them's got the front, one of them's got the back, because, you know, they're going to bring this guy down off the mountain on this stretcher.
Yeah.
And it's not like you could have like a four-wheel stretcher and bring it down a rocky trail. So he's going to go down balanced on like a unicycle,
I guess. Why weren't they helicoptering him out?
I do not know the answer to that. So... we continue hiking. Pretty soon, here they come jogging downhill with the guy on the stretcher. Boom, boom, boom. And he's going, oh.
There's nothing you can do about that for him.
No, I don't. You know, it's like, I mean, Sue and I stepped out of the way, of course, you know, give him the path, because let him play through.
You didn't give a, I'm walking here.
Well, you did kind of feel bad. But like you said, you know, you've had a heart attack in the middle of the mountains. First off, you know, they were older.
It's your own fault for,
they were older
for
than
going
we,
up there.
They're older than we are now.
Yeah.
They had no business hiking
a mountain trail.
A Rocky Mountain Trail.
Right.
And Kasu and I were much younger then.
Right. Would you do it now?
I don't know if I could anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you could either.
Well, I could. I don't know if Sue could. But I couldn't carry her out if she collapsed.
Okay, so we're in, where was I at?
You were at Joshua Tree,
Joshua
California,
Tree.
Joshua Tree National Park.
And Sarah and I are hiking through these, you know, magnificent rock formations. It was just, it was really cool. And they're the kind of rocks that you can really climb around on, you know? And so we're doing some of that. And they have these trails, but there's so many people have been through there. It's hard to see where the actual main trail is.
Because you, people always wander off of them.
Yeah, unless you see the marker, you know, that leads you through there. But we're off on one of these little side trails, and finally we get to the point where we're not seeing people anymore, and Sarah says, we need to go back. So we're starting back and hadn't seen anybody yet. And then finally, as we're coming through like this narrow crevice in the boulders and stuff, up ahead, up on top of a rock, are these two guys up there. One's a looks like about 18, 19-year-old teenager, and the other looks like he's about, you know, 8 or 9-year-old.
Oh, so they're not two people looking for someone to kill and rob.
No, but they were looking for someone.
Oh.
They're standing up there, and they yelled down to Sarah and I. They said, hey, did you happen to see a large group of Asian people go through here? And I look at him, I said, what did they look like? And he kind of stares at me for a while, and he says, they look exactly like me, but different sizes. I said, oh, no, I didn't see anything like that.
I meant, what were they wearing?
Just like me, but different sizes. Huh? He had a good grip on it, on his heritage, I guess. Anyway, so...
So did you find his... Find his Asian family?
Just shortly after that, somebody started yelling. It was the group of Asians in there. Never mind. But when we were at Joshua Tree, and you know, any of these national parks have a big gate. Welcome to National, Joshua Tree National Park. But and you know, that's usually kind of where the traffic is most congested before they get into the giant national park and go in their different directions. But like maybe 50 yards inside the main gate, there's a guy pulled over the side of the road, has the back of his car opened up, and has a barbecue grill right at the back of his car, and he's, you know, like at the side of the road, and he's cooking on his grill.
Not even bother to get to any place remotely scenic or wonderful to do this. Just say, yep. Can't go. Hungry. Gotta eat.
I made it to Joshua Tree, and by God, I'm going to eat here. But yeah, it's like.
And then pack up, say, I'm done. Let's go.
And you know, he's right. You know, he's 5 feet from a constant string of traffic the whole time. And you know, but he's going about his business.
Just like tailgating.
Grilling these burgers right there.
Did you get one?
I could have reached out and grabbed one. He was that close to the road. But yeah, it's like.
Any wildlife in Joshua Tree National Park?
I can verify that the only wildlife that I saw.
Were Asians?
Were, I saw one little squirrel. And that was it.
Gila monsters? Tarantulas?
They say those things are there. But you have to go out into the middle of the desert at night and lay on the sand and wait for them to come to you. Dingoes. They have dingoes. As a matter of fact, they were looking for a baby that had been stolen
by
a dingo.
They did not have dingoes there. That's Australia. Have you ever had a tarantula crawl on you, like go to the zoo
I've,
or something?
I've had a, yeah.
Someone
like
set
some
one on
kind
you?
Kind of thing, and they put it on you, they kind of on your arm. Is that the kind of thing freak you out?
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to have a big spider.
I don't think I'd like it, but you know, had to tough it out. My kids were there.
They put it right on your face, right over your nose.
It went in my mouth and crawled back out.
Open up, let it crawl in, crawl out.
There are people that do that, you know. Or they'll like put bird seed on their tongue and let their little parrot eat bird seed off their tongue. That's gross.
Can you eat a big spider?
What?
Could you eat a big spider?
Could I eat a big spider?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if it's prepared correctly.
Like tarantulas, they cook them up. People eat them.
Dip them in batter. You dip something in batter, you could eat damn near anything.
If they had like a big bowl of like deep fried mushrooms and deep fried spiders.
I doubt you could tell the difference. You ever eat calamari? That's no, creepy food.
No.
Okay.
That's like fried octopus, right?
Yeah, something. Squid or octopus, one of the two. I've eaten them. They're kind of chewy.
Okay. So didn't you go to Palm Springs, too?
I did go to Palm Springs. Palm Springs is a cool place.
Isn't it like, wasn't it like where the Rat Pack hung out in the 50s or 60s?
It is. It was like huge number of celebrities have or have had homes in Palm Springs, and it's because of the two-hour rule.
See, now, I have this
vision. It's because of the two-hour rule.
What is the two-hour rule?
That back in those days, if you were shooting a film, or you couldn't leave, be more than 2 hours away from the studio.
Okay, and that's within the boundaries.
Yeah.
I have this visual picture of Palm Springs being a whole bunch of, like, motel-type things from the 50s or 60s that maybe the guy from Psycho would be running.
No. They're not run down at all. But they do. Palm Springs embraced a certain look that you're talking about, and they maintained it. And so, like, even in the main Palm Springs, within those city limits, even like a new motel will be built to mirror.
Oh, to look like the 50s type.
Right, and they don't have skyscrapers right in the main Palm Springs and stuff. That's on the outskirts and adjacent towns like Palm Desert or Coachella and things like that. But Palm Springs itself maintains the ambiance of a time past. But when Palm Springs was being built, it was built in these different subdivisions. Yeah. And each of these subdivisions had its own style of house.
Like Disney World.
Kind of, yeah. Each one had almost like a theme. And like, you know, you're going around these tours, architectural tours, and they say, well, we're entering into such and such subdivision, which was the subdivision that brought out the floating butterfly roof, you know, where they have the roof that V's into the center. And then you go to another one, they had like this raised cupola in the center that let light into the center of the house. And then they had another section that became popular. They call them Aloha houses because it was right when Hawaii became a state. And so a lot of people were reflecting the tiki culture. And so they had houses. But you get through going through all this and like they said, there were 90 houses built in this subdivision in 1952 or 58 or whatever, and all 90 of them are still intact. It's not like some of the California subdivisions where there was a house built in 1955.
That they tear down and build something fancy there.
Because the lot, just the lot is worth, you know, $5 million where it's at. And so they tear down, you know, a quaint little house and build a McMansion there. So that's what was kind of unique about it. But we're going around, and it's an architecture tour, but it's also telling you which celebrities are in which house, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going along, and there, you know, like, this is Liberace's home, and he had a second home built on the estate for his mother. You know, he's always talking about mother.
Mother.
And then the next house over is the Douglas estate, and it had
Oliver Wendell?
No. Kirk and Michael.
Huh.
And so, you know, here you had Michael Douglas living next to Liberace. And then later in life, Michael Douglas plays Liberace in the movie. Have you seen that movie?
Michael Douglas played him?
Michael Douglas played Liberace in the movie. And his gay lover in the movie was Matt Damon. You've not seen that?
No.
Well, you need to see that. So anyway, that was the only, like,
is that the house that had the piano-shaped swimming pool?
Yeah.
Liberace's house in Palm Springs.
Yeah, well, and I think that, I think Frank Sinatra's house also had a swimming pool, a piano-shaped swimming pool as well. And So you had Liberace, you had the Douglases, their backyard butted up against the backyard of Dinah Shore. Okay. And then down the street was Trini Lopez's house.
Dinah Shore, wasn't she like having a fling with Burt Reynolds?
Yeah.
When she was like a lot older than him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Burt Reynolds had a fling with everybody back then that time. Also, you had a house that was lived in by Elvis. It was called the House of Tomorrow. It was this kind of round-shaped house that sat up on a hill, and he was supposed to get married in that house. You know, he got married in Vegas, but he got their wedding got rearranged from being there in Palm Springs to Vegas because of one of his neighbors that complained. And his neighbor that complained was Rona Barrett.
the columnist.
Yeah, yeah. And so just down the street from them was Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra had a really cool-looking house. And one of the celebs still living there, one of the biggest compounds, is Leonardo DiCaprio lives in Palm Springs.
Did you see him? Was he out mowing the yard?
No. Gloria Swanson lived in...
Was she out mowing the yard?
She's part of the yard now, Rick. And one of her co-stars lived down the street, William Holden.
William Holden.
Yeah. He had a great place. He had a swimming pool that was like 60 feet long. He was a big swimmer.
Well, that Sunset Boulevard, is that the...
Yeah, that's what they were...
Did you ever watch that movie?
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
But that Gloria Swanson was playing a washed-up actress. She just had to kind of be herself, really, at that point in time, didn't she?
The only thing I've ever seen Gloria Swanson in was the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Carol Burnett's imitation of her.
No, she was on the Beverly Hillbillies she was doing like some sale of stuff for an auction, and they thought she was broke and was having to sell all of her stuff. She was raising money for charity. I mean.
Right. Is that the one where they made the silent movie with her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the last movie she's ever in.
Yeah, Bill Holden. I love Bill Holden. You know, the movies that he was in were really good movies.
Stalag.
He got an Oscar Best Actor in that one.
That's fantastic. In that.
Bridge on the River Kwai. Excellent film.
It's not bad.
He did the original version of Sabrina.
Yeah, the second one wasn't that good.
The second one wasn't bad.
It wasn't that good, though.
Harrison Ford was miscast in that. Yeah. But he played the Humphrey Bogart part. Bill Holden played the young playboy part of it.
Anyway, when I think of Bill Holden, I think of him slapping Peter Graves in the prison movie.
Oh, okay.
Because Peter Graves was the stoolie.
Right.
Yeah. He slaps you. Where are you going?
Bill Holden was from O'Fallon, Illinois.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a local boy, just like you and I.
He come back here much?
Not anymore, since he's dead.
I meant back then. I know that dead people don't come around here.
Yeah,
much.
They say he was a really nice guy. You know, he's had a home in Palm Springs, had a home in Switzerland, had a home in L.A., and had a giant ranch, nature preserve, in Africa.
I want to say that house in Palm Springs of Frank Sinatra's, I think that John F. Kennedy used that as like his trysting spot.
Well, that and Peter Lawford's place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Peter Lawford lived next door, and Dean Martin lived right down the street. What a swinging town, right?
You got all the Rat Pack just living handy.
Yeah.
And
just partying with each other.
And Sammy Davis just living right outside of town across the line.
Right. Getting back to Bill Holden.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had all these different places. You know, he had an Oscar and I think like two other nominations for Oscars. You know, he had a pretty interesting life. They say he was a great guy. He was a best man in another famous actor's wedding.
Liberace.
No, not Liberace.
Matt Damon.
Not Matt Damon.
Okay.
Try Ronald Reagan.
No kidding.
He was Ronald Reagan's best man. They were friends their entire life.
Was he still alive when Reagan was president?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to go hang out at the White House.
Well, I guess you would, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. If you knew somebody
Hey, Ron, who's your best man?
If some guy you knew even fairly well became president, you're telling me you wouldn't go in the White House and knock on the door?
I'd be there all the time.
Allie Ringhausen.
Watching TV, playing ping pong.
Open the door.
Going through the archive secrets in the basement. Yeah. You got to do it, right?
Yeah. If you're president, you've just made me think of something. You're president. You elect your president.
Yeah.
Your first day in office, aren't you going to go around looking at all the secret spots
that the government every has? Every single one of them has.
First thing, get me a flight to Area 51. I'm going to see what's there. I'm going to go through every door, open every closet. Let's see.
Bring out that Kennedy file. Let's get the truth there.
I'm going to read everything that's top secret.
You want it all.
Yeah.
And then...
It's kind of like a perk.
And then there's got to be some room where they've got different treasures that they are hiding there. You know it. Yeah. You know it is.
You go through the White House. You're president, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to go look in every single room in the White House?
Absolutely. I'm going in the attic, man.
Yeah.
What's in there? What's in there? No, Rick, I'm just going to tear it down. Build something nicer.
Been there, done that. have you ever seen the pictures of when they did the big remodel when Truman was president?
No.
They literally gutted it to where it was just like an entirely...
Two befores?
Empty shell. Like a two-story empty shell. Yeah. And then rebuilt it just exactly the way it was.
Is that right? But nicer.
No.
Modernized.
About the same, but...
Added telephones.
But they added like steel, I think, to hold it together. Yeah. But they said that when they stripped it out to do that, that there were still fire-blackened bricks from when they burned it in 1812.
Yeah. Which president was in office when they started calling it the White House?
That wasn't the first one. Was Jefferson the first guy to live there, or was that
it? They didn't call it the White House.
It was the Executive Mansion, right?
It was the Executive Mansion. It was because that particular president's kids called it the White House.
No, Lincoln.
Mm-mm. Later.
Huh. Well, not Kennedy.
But no, not Kennedy. It was Theodore Roosevelt's kids calling it the White House. And it became known as the White House. Up to then, it was the Executive Mansion.
Nobody thought to call it the White House.
Let's go to the White Executive Mansion.
Nobody thought to call it the White. It was always white. Who would? Yeah. I guarantee they called it the White House before then.
Okay,
fine. You're just wrong.
All right. Who am I to make up anything?
Going back to Palm Springs, I think that you said Elvis lived in Palm Springs. I think when the Beatles toured America, they met Elvis at this Palm Springs house.
At the Forever House, the House of Tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, I think that's
Look it up, House of Tomorrow. And he only lived there, like, he didn't own the house. He was leasing it. And he only leased it for like 2 years. But that's where he and Priscilla honeymooned in the House of Tomorrow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I saw that. Yeah.
So DiCaprio is the only modern guy, famous guy that's living there now?
I think so.
Is he own the whole town?
There may be some lesser ones, but he's a top shelf actor right there. And he's got him an Oscar now, too.
Okay. Let's say you live in Palm Springs.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Getting back to Leonardo DiCaprio, right? He finally, he's in 100 movies and hasn't, captured the biggie, hasn't gotten the Oscar. And, and one of the main reasons, he's the pretty boy,
Well, that's loosely said, but go ahead.
Well, I think he's been classified as that. And then the movie he wins the Oscar for is the ugliest thing he's ever done.
Did he win an Oscar?
Yeah, for the where he gets mauled by the bear.
That was him? He won the Oscar for that?
Yeah.
I like that movie.
So he had to go to his, grossest, ugliest look to get the Oscar. Kind of like... who's the blonde-headed chick that did the same thing? Charlize Theron.
Oh,
she won an Oscar for the movie Monster.
Yeah, I think so.
She looked awful in it. She's so beautiful.
Let me go back to Palm Springs. Let's say you live in Palm Springs and you're a nobody.
Right.
Right. You work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
But you live in Palm Springs.
I don't think I could work at McDonald's and afford to live in Palm Springs, but go ahead.
And Leo DiCaprio lives in Palm Springs. You live in the same town as Leo.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be before you work up enough nerve to just go knock on the door? Hey, Leo.
Hey, what you doing?
You want to come have a beer with us, guys?
I got a bag of some leftover burgers at the end of my shift. What do you say? Hang out a little bit?
Would you do it? You know, the people who live around celebrities.
I think you get tasered before you got to the door.
The people who live around celebrities like to brag over the fact that they, you know, they act like they're not really celebrities. You know, hardly even wave when they see them.
Leo DiCaprio comes into this shop, you know, every Tuesday and gets a Danish.
Yeah, we don't make a big deal over it.
We should pretend like she's not even here.
But we charge him 10 times as much.
The place does have a vibe. It's pretty cool. But, you know, like everything around Palm Springs for miles and miles and miles, desert.
Nothing.
Nothing.
But you go over to, what's the hottest spot on earth?
Vegas?
No. No, not Vegas. The big desert.
Oh, Death Valley.
Death Valley.
Yeah. No, I did not. I didn't want to experience death. Rick, we're out of time.
That's impossible. That just seems impossible.
Impossible. This is
this has been entertaining and educational.
Uh-huh. Isn't that what... never mind. We'll catch up on the next show. This is Allie.
See you later for Rick Gator.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Leo DiCaprio's Palm Springs Spring Water. When you're dry as a bone, reach for a Leo. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Except no substitutes. Aren't any.